Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
God bless you, church family. So thankful to come to you through the modern media of video. Powerful word to preach to you in the series called Living the Dream. I want you to raise a hand to heaven all across this great sanctuary, those online. Raise a hand to heaven and say, I am living the dream. Ready, set, go. I am living the dream. I've been doing a series on the life of Joseph, which has impacted me and many of you as you have spoken and declared. These messages are changing your life. This message this morning is life-changing. I want you to take your Bibles with me, please, and turn to the book of Genesis, and that would be chapter 42. We're going to read 24 verses out of Genesis 42. And before we stand for the reading of God's word, let me just give you a quick review of our series. Talking of the life of Joseph, which is really a foreshadowing of Christ in so many profound ways. The first message we preached, he chose you anyway, right out of a dysfunctional family. Joseph had a dysfunctional family. God chose him. We've all come from dysfunctional families. God chose you. We talked about how dreams don't die in Dothan. And he had these dreams and he shared them, and he was certainly persecuted by his brothers. He went on to be sold into slavery. We preached a third message called Tested, Tried, and True, and how he did not succumb to the affections of Potiphar's wife, but was accused of trying to take her and was thrown into a dungeon. Goodness in a dungeon was the next message, and how God intervened in that dungeon as he was there, giving the gift of dream interpretation. And then the next message after that, as he was forgotten by his friends, remembered 2 years later, and came to be elevated overnight, was the title of the message, elevated overnight with a lifetime of preparation. And he comes, at last we spoke and preached to you, he comes before Pharaoh, and he has the gift of dream interpretation for which he gives God all the glory. And he interprets the dream of Pharaoh. In fact, there's two dreams he has. And in the interpretation, he shows how to basically save the world. Joseph, a type of Christ, then is chosen to be that man who would manage all of the wealth of Egypt. He'd be second in command. He would be what's called the viceroy. And they give him a new name. Now, the new name is Zaphnath-Paaneah. Everybody try to say that. Zaphnath-Paaneah. What does that mean? That is his new Egyptian name, which means savior of the world. It is absolutely profound, the foreshadowing of Christ through all the life of Joseph. And so in Genesis chapter 41, you'll find verses 45 to 52. I'm not going to preach on it, but there's a lot there. It's the years of plenty, 7 years of plenty. And in the 7 years of plenty, Joseph gets married right after he interprets a dream. He gets blessed. He receives Potiphar's daughter. I mistakenly taught to you, although there are some who believe that that was the daughter of Potiphar, the captain of the guard. And I did share and teach that to you a number of messages ago to indicate the innocence of Joseph when he was accused of trying to rape Potiphar's wife. There are some that believe that that is a priestly name and it's the same man, Potiphar, but I've come to declare and believe that it is not the case. This is another Potiphar. It is not Potiphar's daughter. Anyway, when we get to heaven, we'll know for sure. So he marries her and he has two sons. Anybody know the names of two sons? Manasseh and Ephraim. And the indication of the two names, Manasseh and Ephraim, they're Jewish names, they're Hebrew names. And Manasseh, forgetfulness, means he's forgotten his past. And Ephraim means multiplication or doubling or blessing. And the indication of the Hebrew names is that he's not been polluted by the pagan culture of Egypt, but he has retained his Jewishness, if I could just say that, and he is very much intact on the way to fulfilling the dream. Stand with me now. Take your Bibles. Turn to Genesis chapter 42. Genesis 42. We'll read 24 verses. Stand up if you're able. Genesis 42, New International Version. Are you ready? On your marks? Not that it's erased or anything, but come on, read along with me. And on your device or on your Bible, Genesis 42, New International Version, 1 through 24. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you just keep looking at each other?" He continued, "I've heard that there was grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we may live and not die." Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt, but Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain, for there was famine in the land of Canaan also. Now Joseph was the governor or viceroy of the land, the person who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. Verse 7, as soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to him. "Where do you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan," they replied, "to buy food." Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dreams about them, and he said to them, "You are spies. You've come to see where our land is unprotected." "No, my lord," verse 10, they answered. "Your servants have come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. Your servants are honest men, not spies." "No," he said to them, "you've come to see where our land is unprotected." But they replied, "Your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with him, and one is no more." Joseph said to them, "It is just as I told you, you're spies. And this is how you will be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place until your youngest brother comes here. Send one of your number to get your brother. The rest you will be kept in prison so that your words may be tested to see if you're telling the truth. And if you are not, as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies." Verse 17, and he put them all in custody for 3 days. On the third day, everybody say on the third day. On the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do this and you will live, for I fear God. If you're honest men, let one of your brothers stay in prison while the rest of you go and take grain back for your starving households. But you must bring your youngest brother to me so that your words may be verified and that you may not die." This they proceeded to do. And they said one to another, "Surely we're being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded for his life, but we would not listen. That is why distress has come on us." Reuben replied, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against a boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an account, an accounting for his blood." They did not recognize or realize that Joseph could understand them since he was using an interpreter. And he turned away from them and he began to weep. He came back and spoke to them again. He had Simon taken from them and bound before their eyes. Let's pray. Father, thank you. What a powerful passage of scripture. Move in great power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Come on, say it again. I'm living the dream. I am living the dream. God brings Joseph's dream to pass. It's the first dream that comes to pass here in this text. But it's a painful thing. I mean, you can't read this text and not see the intensity of it. He's seeing his brothers for the first time. They don't recognize him. That verse where he recognized that they were bowing down, he recognized a dream coming to pass. That verse where he turns and he weeps, can you see the intensity of it? It's just so powerful. And God is not only fulfilling the dream here, but he's going to heal a fractured family. And he wants to heal your fractured family. He wants to touch you. He wants to restore relationships. That's what he does here in this text. It's the beginning of the healing of the brokenness. It's the beginning of forgiveness. It's this beginning of salvation for God's people because of Joseph, Zaphaphaneah, the savior of the world. It's the beginning of how God's going to turn what the enemy meant for evil, going to turn it for good. Let me ask you this as we continue in our introduction, and we do have notes. If you've not received those, lift a hand and one of the ushers will bring that to you. How can we see healing come about for our families? How can we see healing come about for you, for your family? How can we see that? How can we see healing come about? Because if we don't see healing come about, then we're going to basically leave an inheritance of pain. If you're not healed in your family, if you don't get healed, then your inheritance that you will leave for the future generations is that of pain. And I, for one, have purposed not to leave an inheritance of pain, but to have a healed family, not a fractured family, a healed family. I am living the dream. Say it. I am living the dream. And if you're living the dream and you're going to live the dream, you're going to fulfill God's plan, you've got to get healed. There's a brokenness on the inside of every one of us. No, how matter how wonderful your family was, all of us need healing. Our family does need to get healed from pain. And the dream will be fulfilled. Come on, say that. The dream will be fulfilled. Amen. Let's look at this text. You say, well, Pastor, if my family doesn't get healed, will the dream be fulfilled? As far as it depends on you, you've got to get healed. If you don't get healed, your dream will be hindered. I'll say that. And you certainly need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you've not done that, do it today by the end of this service. Yes, you can't control other people, but you can pray. And God says in Proverbs 21:1 that he holds the heart of the king. It doesn't matter what a donkey of a man your husband might be or your father might be or your wife. It doesn't matter. God can take that heart and turn it if you will pray and you will agree. He can bring dreams just like he did for Pharaoh, who becomes really a believer. It's really amazing on a certain level. Let's look at this text. Jacob's leading his family. The boys here, boys, they're 50 or 60 years old. So he's leading his family. And he's like, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? If you look at different commentators, it seemed they were acting like they have food, but they have no food. Famine is about 2 years in the land now, and it's really this powerful moment of a father saying, now this is what we need to do, even though their boys are 50 and 60, and they have families of their own. 10 brothers go down to Egypt, but not Benjamin. Why not? Because it says in the text that he was afraid. You know, fear will do something to you to hold you back from God's plan. Now, God orchestrated this whole thing, and I don't think it's stretching the text too much to say that fear was controlling Jacob, Israel. Jacob is also Israel. Those names are synonymous. Fear. You've got to get healed. So oftentimes, people go through loss. They go through trauma. They have wounds, and fear shapes the way that they think, the way that they act, the way that they respond. There's a healing that needs to take place in their soul. And they can make decisions. I know. How do you know? Because I've been through it. You can have situations in your life that mark you with trauma, mark you with fear. And then when it comes times for an opportunity for you to step out and move forward in faith, you're hindered because it didn't work last time. The last time I got out of the boat, I sank. I'm not getting out of the boat again. There can be that kind of trauma. And you see, Jacob, Israel needs healing. And you've got to overcome fear in your own life. Joseph's first dream is fulfilled there, verse 9. That's in reference to Genesis 37, verse 5 through 8. Joseph is about 37 to 39 years old. It's 20 years since he had the dream. I've known people who gave their lives to Jesus, they're in Christ, they're serving God for about a year and a half, and they're like, how come the Lord doesn't bring about the plan for my life? You mean, you're like, you're still wet behind the ears. You know what that means? That's an expression that you were just born, wet behind the ears. Sometimes there's time that has to pass. I love what I heard years ago. There's no 90-day wonders in the kingdom of God. It's not how fast you run, it's whether you finish your race. And sometimes things take a couple decades, and sometimes they're overnight. I prefer the overnight, but many times it takes 20 years since he had this dream, and it's the dream when he has it is totally impossible. But imagine that. It's taking place right before Joseph. His brothers bowing down, the sheaves bowing down before him. Dream is totally impossible. Nevertheless, it comes to pass. And look back in your notes. Joseph tests them and accuses them of being spies. The test wasn't just this cruel thing. It really was like wisdom from God on how to bring about true repentance. Worldly sorrow brings death, but godly sorrow or godly repentance brings life. He was looking to test them to see if they were really repentant. And Joseph's strategy, again, in your notes, works. His strategy works. Verse 13, he gets information concerning his family. His father's still alive. Benjamin is still alive. The hope that had to come into Joseph's life is astounding. Can you imagine being separated, sold into slavery, all through the trials and difficulties, yet God was with him. If God's with you, you can make it. No matter who rejects you, you can make it. Come on, say, I can make it. I can make it if God's with me. If God's with me, I can make it. God is with Joseph. He overcomes the pit. He overcomes slavery. He overcomes the accusation of being a rapist. He overcomes the prison. He overcomes all of these things. And in a moment, he's elevated and he becomes second in command. And now the dream that was totally impossible that his brothers persecuted him for comes to pass. He puts his brothers, moving on now, he puts his brothers in the prison for 3 days, a picture of resurrection, a picture of the tomb, I think. You do a study on 3 days. On the third day, how often on the third day there's breakthrough and there's healing and there's resurrection power. After 3 days, with the result of them confessing that they've reaped what they sowed, and this true repentance, godly sorrow comes. Look at verse 21 with me, would you? And they said one to another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother. And he hears the whole thing. He hears the whole thing because he speaks Hebrew. So they're speaking in Hebrew, but they don't understand. I mean, it's this incredible scene. Stuff movies are made of, and they have made a movie of it. And he's listening to them repent, and he's listening to them talk, and it's affecting him so profoundly. And it says that Reuben answered in verse 22 saying, didn't I tell you to speak? He hears about, probably for the first time, Joseph hears probably for the first time about Reuben, his oldest brother's concern for him. And there's this divine orchestration bringing about true repentance in the heart of his brothers. And it's breaking Joseph. He weeps. It's just so powerful. Instead of keeping all nine brothers, he comes after 3 days, he comes with a plan, and the plan is from God. There's a number of reasons for this. One, instead of keeping all nine brothers in prison, he keeps only one and has the others go back to their father. Nine brothers would better convince the father, let Benjamin return to Egypt rather than just one. And also, it was dangerous to travel, so one returning home could not bring or protect the food along the journey back to Canaan. Think about that. If you have all this food that he's giving them, they have to protect that. But nine could. It's a picture of caring and protecting for his family, even though they're still fractured and broken. And in returning the brothers, their silver, now you see that in the rest of the chapter, which I didn't take time to read, but you can see it. In returning the brothers' silver, he was truly testing them, their honesty. The story ends with Jacob's refusal. This is the final verses there through verse 34 of sending Benjamin back. So here's the point of what God is speaking to us. If God's going to fulfill your dreams, you have to get healed. You have to get healed. It is God's desire to heal you, for you to get rid of your unhealed baggage. It's God's desire to heal you of your fear, heal you of your sorrow. It's God's desire to not only forgive you, but for you to forgive your brothers, if I could say it that way, in relation to the story, you to forgive everybody that sold you into slavery, that didn't believe in you, that didn't stand with you, your father who didn't father you the right way, maybe your mother who didn't mother you the right way, your siblings, your ex-wife, your ex-husband. You have to get healed of all of those things. And in this text, we see God's healing power at work. You say, what does that mean for me? Well, simply, God wants to heal you. If you'll let him, the power of God is beginning to move right now in the sanctuary and all those online. He's going to heal you today. He's going to perhaps start a process of healing, but his desire is to heal you and make you whole, not for you to be broken, angry, bitter, fearful. That's not God's will. God's will for you is to live the dream. Can I preach in here? God's will for you is to be set free from every bondage, for you to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength, and for him to heal you and make you even more like him. And his plan is to heal your family, your dysfunctional family, in which he chose you anyway. Wow. You see healing on two levels. First, in Joseph, he recognizes that his brothers feel guilty for what they've done. That's encouraging. They feel guilty. They're sorrowful. Wow. He could have been filled with vengeance. He wasn't. Why? Because God was with him. Joseph is walking with God. I've seen people over the years trapped in their emotions because of this dynamic. Because of this dynamic. And he realizes that Reuben was for him, and I think that's very encouraging for him. God's love for you will begin to allow the memories to rise in your life. Even this morning, some of you are beginning to have memories of things that happened, that he can heal you. And he, once again, he sees once again that God is faithful, verse 9, this first dream being fulfilled. So God's at work at healing in Joseph. God's at work, secondly, at healing his brothers. They're confronted with the hardness of heart that they would not listen. And they knew that God saw what they did, and his law of tooth for tooth was true. You'll notice in their language that they're acknowledging this is happening because we did this to Joseph. They are acknowledging the law of sowing and reaping. They're acknowledging the law of tooth for tooth. They're acknowledging that God saw them when they threw their brother in the pit. Wow, the Lord's concerned about them. He's concerned about you. He's concerned about me. He's concerned about us, and he will allow for situations to come about as you seek him to bring you to a place of healing, to bring you to a place of fullness, to bring you to a place of fulfillment. And it's not always fun. There's weeping. Some of you are going to weep. And I would suggest you do that. Good. Weep. Get healed. Don't stay weeping. I've known people that have grieved and mourned for years. You need to get over it. You need to get healed. You need to get through it. You know, healing is tied to perception. Look at your notes. Verse 23, watch this. Healing is tied to perception, verse 23. But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. And he turned himself away and wept, and he returned again and talked with them. So when you see Joseph is 17 and his brothers didn't see him, didn't perceive him to be the deliverer, they saw him to be a snot-nosed little kid. And in fact, immature 17-year-old is what the text says. I taught you in a previous message. And they did not like him. If they saw him to be the deliverer, I promise you, they would have seen him differently. You will see your children differently if you see that you're raising the next Billy Graham. If you see your little boy and you know by prophetic insight that God is going to raise him up to be the next world changer. And by the way, every single child can be raised up to be the next world changer, including you. And if you'll have a perception about what God is able to do with a fully surrendered heart, with someone who's filled with the Spirit who gets healed. He has a dream for you. He has a plan for you. A plan, a dream. But if you don't see that, you don't perceive it, you won't act like that. And if you don't see other people that way, you won't behave that way towards them. We have many people coming in here that are broken. Thank God. We have many people coming in here that are in need of healing. We have many people that are coming into this church or those that are online that are in desperate need of God's intervention in their fractured family. And you and I, we need to see those as people who can be healed, that God's plan is to heal them, and we need to behave that way towards them. Somebody said, I can't believe what that sister said about me. Well, she's just in need of healing, if I can quote Pastor Karen. Anybody that does things that are foolish and hurtful is because they're hurt and foolish. They need to be healed. Can you say amen? Can you say a better amen? There's broken people that God brings into this house, and we need to see them as whole, and we need to provide opportunity for them to be healed. And we do that. Many people don't take advantage of that. This is one moment, a service time of celebration. We have life groups. We have divorce care. We have a grief share for people who are grieving, people who are divorced, going through divorce. We have people who are going through grief. We have processes and groups to be able to help you with biblical wisdom so that you don't stay broken, so that you can be healed. We have a rehabilitation center, discipleship center for those who've been affected by life-controlling problems and drugs and alcohol. We have systems and things in place to help you move out of your fractured life and to move into a place of healing, to live the dream. Come on, live the dream. But if you don't get healed, it'll never happen. Take advantage of these things. There's classes and courses, and there's the King's School of Ministry, on and on and on and on. Joseph's brothers, if they could have seen who Joseph was going to become, they never would have treated him that way. I remember getting a level of healing and coming to a revelation in my life where I realized the things that happened to me that caused great harm happened because, one, the devil is bad, two, people are unhealed. And you can't give, you've heard me say it dozens of times before, you can't give what you don't have. So if your mama didn't help you the way that you needed help, it's only because she didn't know. Your father didn't help you the way that you needed help or support or encouragement. It's only because he didn't know how to do it. He didn't have it to give it to you. So you have to just forgive them. You don't know what they did. No, I don't know what they did. But I do know that Jesus was crucified on a cruel Roman cross and rose again after his death in accordance with the scripture. And his death, his substitutionary death, was in place of what your father did, your mother did, what your uncle did to you that nobody knows about, even what you did. And he can heal you and forgive you, but you've got to see things differently. You've got to perceive that God wants to heal you. And what happened to you, what the enemy meant for evil, God, he'll turn it for good. Come on, say amen. And we see the gift of wisdom operating through Joseph to bring healing. And God can do that for us. This gift of wisdom operates. He sends nine. He holds one, the different things that he does. It's masterful. It wasn't this covert operation to persecute and bring vengeance upon his brothers. It was so that healing, forgiveness, and flow and the fractured, broken family can be healed so that his family would survive. They're all going to die. They're all going to die if they don't work this out, because Joseph is the one who has the bread. Zapapanea, the savior of the world. He is the keeper of the bread. Joseph is in charge of the grain. They're going to have to come and get grain. Listen, if you don't come to Jesus, you're not going to get any bread, a pitcher of life. You're not going to get healing. You can go all the psychotherapy and go through all kinds of rigmarole and training and things like that. And some of that is good. If it's biblically based, it can be good. But in the end, you're going to have to make a decision to get healed, and you're going to have to walk in healing, and there are tears that will be shed, and there are people you need to forgive, and you need to forgive yourself. You're going to live the dream? Good. You're going to need to get healed. And God's desire is to heal your family. You can't force them to Christ. You can't force them to be healed. But you can certainly live out a Christ follower's a following life where you model and you show forgiveness and you show mercy and you show kindness and you show gentleness and mercy and self-control, where you're no longer just freaked out and angry and fearful over things because you've been set free, that you begin to renew your mind. You become more and more like Jesus and your family begins to see you. They didn't perceive Joseph to be that man, that deliverer, the savior of the world when he was 17, but now they see him and they don't know he's Joseph yet. He's about to be revealed. And God is healing this whole family. So God wants to heal you and your family on the way to living the dream. And E, as we conclude this powerful message, keys, please. Pray and decree God's will for your family. I'm going to pray for you right now. And then I've put in the notes a series of decrees. And I want you to receive this prayer as I pray for you. And then I want you to decree these blessings, these truths, the will of God over your family, and they're in your notes so you can read them with me. They're probably at a smaller font, but we wanted to fit them all on the page there. Let me pray over you here. Gracious, awesome, come on, lift your hands. If you need healing in your family, you need healing in your life, lift a hand to heaven right now. Father, boldly we come before you in the powerful, matchless, holy name of Jesus, who was rejected, who was misunderstood, who was crucified and was exalted unto glory. Just as you brought Joseph's dream to pass, you are going to bring about the dream for every one of these families and all of these individuals and all those online. You're going to bring about the dream as they delight themselves in you, as they serve you, as they worship and live before you. You're going to bring it to pass. In the midst of healing pain, regret, and brokenness. In the name of Jesus, I pray all pain, brokenheartedness, and rejection go. I break that orphan spirit where someone is a part of a family, but they've always felt on the outside. I break that orphan spirit off of you today in the name of Jesus. I decree in Jesus' name, every wound healed in their soul, in their emotions, physical bodies being healed. In fact, there's some that are here and you've got a physical ailment and it is tied to your soul, tied to your emotions and that brokenness of when you were rejected, when you were abandoned. Receive healing in the air of your soul. Forgive the one that abandoned you and healing flows to you physically right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, each and every one of us would have a perspective that you are present even now and that you are protecting us and making a way for us. I thank you what the enemy meant for evil, God, you are turning for good. Romans 8 and verse 28, turn things for good. Someone say that with me. Turn things for good in my family. Say it again. Turn things for good in my family. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray fractured families healed, restored relationships. Those that have gone cold or hard-hearted, turn the hearts, Proverbs 21:1. Break cycles of fear. Break trauma in Jesus' name. Break generational brokenness and distortions. Break generational curses. Lord, I pray now in Jesus' name, what happened in the past no longer affects us today. Say that. What happened in the past, no longer, make it personal. What happened in the past no longer affects me today. Say, I'm free from that thing. I am free from that thing in Jesus' name. Come on, shout to God. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Yes, God, you're amazing. Let me decree this over you. I decree in the name of Jesus, every dream delayed by pain shall now be accelerated by healing. I decree every wound in my soul, in my mind. Come on, say it with me. Every wound in my soul, say it with me. It's in your notes. I decree every wound in my soul, in my mind, in my emotion, it being touched by the hand of God. I decree what is hidden in my heart is now being revealed for the purposes of redemption and healing. I decree, come on, I decree, I forgive all those who meant to harm me. I forgive myself and my failures. I will, come on, say it, I will not pass down fear. I will pass down faith. My family will not inherit my pain. Come on, say that again. My family will not inherit my pain. Write in your notes. They will inherit God's promises. What is fractured is being forged into purpose. I decree divine wisdom to confront, to reconcile, and to restore. I am not stuck in what was. I'm stepping into what shall be. The dreams God has for me will, come on, say that. The dreams that God has for me will be fulfilled. I will walk in forgiveness and healing. The cycle is broken. I will live the dream God has for me. I declare, come on, say it. I declare this is the season of fulfillment and forgiveness. I'm living the dream. I'm healed. I'm holy. I'm full of hope. I decree all these things in Jesus' name. Now shout to God like he just did it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Now would you bow your heads for a moment? If you're not right with God, then don't leave this place in that condition. This message, a foreshadowing of Jesus who took your sin and took my sin. Joseph, Zaphaphaneah, the Savior of the world, literally was persecuted, was put in a pit, a picture of the dungeon, a picture of a tomb. And he was elevated and he was raised up and had wisdom to save God's people. Without Joseph, God's people would have died in a famine. And without Jesus, you will die in your sin, he said. The word of God says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. The Bible says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on him? Have you been born again? Have you repented of your sin? God wants to bring you to a godly sorrow where you understand that it was your actions that put Jesus on the cross, just like the brothers realized it was their actions that put Joseph to death, they thought. But here he stands before them, fulfilling the dream. It's your actions that crucified Christ, and you must receive him. You must come to an acknowledgement that you're the one that did it. It's got to be like that. And then in that moment, which only God can give you that grace, and in that moment you say, oh God, I'm sorry for what I've done. Forgive me for what I've done. And you ask Jesus to come into your life. To as many as believed on him, he gave them the right to become children of God. As you've heard me say so often, I say again to you, you are not his child unless you are born again, unless you receive him. It's not enough to believe that he exists. Demons believe, says the book of James, and they tremble. To biblically believe is to not only acknowledge it by faith, but to receive the fullness of that through repentance and receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you want to give your heart to Christ for the very first time, or you want to make a recommitment to him because you drifted in your walk, you know you're not living 100% for him, come home today. Come back to Christ today. That's why we're here. It's the most important thing that can happen this morning is that you would be born again, that you would receive Jesus. I implore you, I plead with you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. There's no righteous acts or no deeds that you can do to make yourself right with him. No, you must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. He's the Savior of the world. He's the way, the truth, and the life. If you've never given your heart to him, in a moment I'm going to invite you to lift your hand and surrender to give your life to him. Or if you drifted and you're not as on fire as you used to be and you know you need to come back to Christ, do it today. all across this place, from the right to the left, from the front to the back, all those online, you want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time or make a recommitment, on the count of three, slip your hand up. One, two, do it now. Three, God bless you. God bless you. Hands all over the sanctuary. Come on, give your life to Christ. Lift your hand to Jesus. He sees your hand. He sees your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Stand with me all across this great sanctuary at home. Stand up if you're driving. Don't do that. Stand up all across this place and pray with me right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father. Come on, right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. I believe he rose again from the grave for me. And I ask you today to forgive me for all of my wrongs, for all of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Lord. Be my Savior. Wash me. Cleanse me, and make me new. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Lift your hands to Jesus as a universal sign of surrender, and as you do, let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, release your power upon these. Baptize them with your Holy Ghost and power, fire, to be able to resist the enemy, to share their faith, to walk with you. Baptize them, release gifts of the Spirit to them even now, a prayer language and so much more. And I pray, Lord, for every single person under the sound of my voice, for healing in their families. Heal families. Restore broken relationships. Lord, bring forgiveness as we decreed, as we prayed, as we preached. Let this process take place in our families. Bring those who are hurting and broken to you. Restore marriages, restore relationships between fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. And God, restore and heal for the purposes of God. We decree your plan that you are bringing about fulfillment for our families. We will not give an inheritance of pain. We purpose to release forgiveness and the plan of God, the dream of God. I am living the dream. My family is living the dream. Say it with me. My family is living the dream. Now shout to God like he just did every healing and miracle you ever needed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands together, won't you? Glory to God. Glory to God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.